All right, church, thanks for checking in. I am in the book of Mark doing our series verse by verse through the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 12 today in verses 18 through 27. This is a passage that I preached on Resurrection Sunday of 2020, our first Sunday back during COVID. When COVID first hit, we did it as a drive-in church service to celebrate Resurrection Day. And this particular passage in my mind is just burned into my mind with preaching outside in a parking lot outside of the fire company. It's just an interesting little thing that I will probably never forget. But let's read it and we'll get into it. It says, "The Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but leaves no child, that man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother.' There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and he died and left no offspring. The second took her and died, leaving no offspring. The third likewise. The seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven all had her as wife." Jesus said to them, isn't that just a really dumb and weird situation to be asking about? I don't know. Let's hear what Jesus has to say. I think he and I are on the same page. All right. "Jesus said to them, 'Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but God of the living. You are quite wrong.'" He just outright dismisses these guys. I love this. Most of the time when they come to him with a question, a trap of some sort, like we saw in just the previous paragraph about is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar and all this other stuff, and when they come to him about the questions of the Sabbath and why don't your disciples wash their hands and all these sorts of things, he generally asks them questions back and he gets them, hey, does anybody have a denarius? Whose likeness and whose inscription is on this denarius? He asks them questions and creates a dialogue before giving the final true right answer. But in this case, there's no question and answer period. There's no let's reason this out together and help you come to an understanding. He just lays straight into him. "Is this not the reason you are wrong? You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Have you not read?" And then he ends it up, "You are quite wrong." These guys are so far off base, he doesn't even know how to reason with them. They're beyond being reasonable. All right? Now, frequently they have come to him with things, with hypocrisy in their hearts, with tricks up their sleeve, with bad intentions, and he sees straight through it every time. But he'll still answer the question or whatever. He even answers these guys' question. But in this case, he is directly and repeatedly just straight back at you. "All right, guys, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. You haven't read the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. You're so far off base right now. Knock it off with your dumb questions." All right? That's my paraphrase. Jesus didn't say that. But look, sometimes there are dumb questions. If your question if your motive behind the question is dumb and your question itself is dumb, then it's fair to call it a dumb question. All right. These Sadducees. This is Sadducees coming to him. We saw that in the question about taxes, it was Pharisees and Herodians. Here it's Sadducees. And next in verse 28, which we'll do tomorrow, a scribe comes to him. All right, so there's all these different groups of people, religious leaders, Pharisees, Herodians, scribes, Sadducees. The Sadducees, it says parenthetically, and I think it says this every time Sadducees are brought up, Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection. Sadducees believe this life is all there is. They believe that what you see is what you get, and what you get is all you get, and there's nothing else. There's nothing else to it. So get what you can in this world, and that's that. They would maybe be very well educated, they would have maybe accomplished certain things in this life. They had a religious tone to them. They weren't just totally hedonistic or selfish and greedy in that sense, although they certainly had those tendencies. They were very power hungry, because if this world's all there is, then get all the power you can while you can and use it for your own good. And they became part of kind of a ruling class, and that's how they did things. All right. And Jesus doesn't have any tolerance for this, because they're claiming some sort of religious mantle on themselves while they deny the supernatural. All right. They would say they believe in God and God is supernatural. They would have certainly said that. But their whole perspective is what's of this world. The temple of this world. Let's manage the temple. Let's do marriage in this world. And there's the resurrection of the dead. Oh, forget it. Okay. Now, that's a sad way to live. It's a really empty and dead way to live. And Jesus repeatedly says it's just the wrong way to live. You are quite wrong. You don't know the power of God, and you don't know the scriptures. Power of God meaning God is supernatural. He is all-powerful. His power extends beyond the natural world. And they don't seem to get that. They don't understand the scriptures either. Again, if you deny God's power, then you're not going to notice it all through scripture. But the Bible is a miraculous book, and it attests to a miraculous God from page one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That what that tells you is God was before time. This was in the beginning. Before time started, God was already there, and he did it, and time took off. And after that, there was evening and morning, and there was the first day, right? So time starts. God's already there before the starting point of time. And he speaks and things happen. And he's God of the universe, and that's established on page one. Okay? Now, you don't like that. You don't want God to be all-powerful. You want this world to be all there is. There's a strong temptation for that, because this world is tangible, and I can see it. And it's very easy to live by sight and not by faith, because by faith is hard. And so I want to live by sight. And I see some things I like. I see some things I want. I see a world around me that has certain opportunities, and I want to take them, because there they are. And you only get one life to live. Carpe diem, they say. You seize the day, whatever. There's just enough truth in that stuff to be tempting. Let's do it. And then they start nitpicking all these people that are living. Oh, you're living for the next life. Oh, you're a fool. You're stupid. Don't you understand this world? Make the best of what you can in this world. Okay, that's the Sadducee position. They want to get what they can in this world. They'll use a certain degree of religion to get there, but it's a form of godliness that denies God's true power. It's not the real thing, and Jesus says so. All right. Now, Jesus' perspective, verse 27, he is not God of the dead, but God of the living. You are quite wrong. God of the living. And he quotes this little passage, might have been a kind of obscure. You know the burning bush story, passage in Exodus, but God spoke to him saying, to Moses saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. I am present tense. And he's talking to Moses, which was way after those guys were dead. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am their God. Presently, I currently am their God. So it's not was, I was the God of Abraham. Am. Was would be up while he lived, I was his God, and then he died, and that was the end. And while Isaac lived, I was his God, and then he died, and that was the end. And then while Jacob lived, I was his God, and then he died, and that's the end of Jacob. No, I am currently, I am present tense, the God of these guys who are long dead, which indicates that they are still alive, and he is still their God. So let me frame it this way. If God is your God, he will be your God forever. If he is your God while you are alive now, he will continuously be your God. Isn't that amazing? What you do in this life, the decisions you make, the position you put yourself in under God in this life, will determine eternity after that, because he's God. If he's God once, he's God always. He is outside of time. He is outside of all of this. And so if you put yourself in his hands now, he doesn't lose. He doesn't open up his hand. Nobody, can pluck you from his hand. You're there. You're permanently there for eternity with him. He is present tense, the God of these guys that are long dead, because they are remain in him through the present tense and for eternity. All right, that's your choice. Or you could be a Sadducee, make fun of people that believe in God, make fun of the idea of a life after death, of eternal life, make fun of the whole thing, grab all the power you can get now, and hope it's a satisfying life for you. And it's a disastrous life, and it's miserable, and it's depressing. And that's why people who don't believe in a life after death, who don't believe in an eternal God, that's why these people have major problems with depression, suicide. Or that's why they have major problems with greed and lust and envy and power and all this stuff, because they are grasping at it now because they don't think they'll ever have a chance at it again for all of eternity, because there is no eternity to them. All right, God of the living, God of eternity. Now, how to apply this? I would say a few things, but one overarching principle, I hit on it often, but maybe this is a different angle for it. Stop watching the news. Stop it. All right, now how does that connect? Well, the news is present day. It's always today. You're a ping pong ball, and you're just bouncing. You're going to pay attention to this. Now pay attention to that. Now pay attention to this. Now pay attention to that. Tomorrow you're going to pay attention to this. The next day you're going to pay attention to that. You're going to forget with a week or two from now what you were paying attention to today. It's always straight up in your face. This is all that matters. Present day is it. There's no eternal perspective to it. There's very little past perspective to it. It's a constant, ongoing, present day, what should capture your attention today? And it's idolatry. It's idolatry. It's not just a dumb, foolish way to live like these Sadducees. It's idolatry. It's straight up idolatry, idolizing this life right now, the present day, the current circumstances, the current situation, idolizing this over the things that matter, truly matter. Okay? And you come up with all these goofy questions. If you're not thinking of eternity, then you're coming up with a lot of weird nonsense, which is what these Sadducees are coming up with. All right? And Jesus just, hey, guys, that's nonsensical. All right? Stop paying attention so dramatically, so deeply to the present day. Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything Jesus has taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Get about that good news. Go spread that good news. And pay just enough attention to the general news of the day so that nothing falls on your head. When somebody says duck, pay enough attention that you duck. That's how you should regard the news. Something useful to have around if you ever need to know what in the world is going on out there. Okay, check the news. Something's happening. That's interesting. But most of the time, the stuff that's on the news isn't even stuff that's happening. It's stuff that people are panicking about happening. It's not even real. Would you have even known we were in a global, world-changing pandemic if the news didn't tell you you were? I don't know. That's just a rhetorical question. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. I'm not trying to minimize those who have suffered significantly from this, from the COVID. But don't let it dominate you. The news wants your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It wants your attention at all times. It wants you to be attentive. It wants you to pay attention to it. I touched on this, I think, Sunday or last Sunday or something recently. It wants you to pay attention. It wants you to give to the news everything. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, to God what belongs to God, and give to the news your full, utmost, undivided attention every single day. Because it's telling you what really matters. It's telling you the latest news. Pay attention to it. Fear the bad news. Get really excited about the good news. And tomorrow, let's see what the news says again. Stop it. Stop it. That's Sadducee religion. That's present day idolization. I'm not talking about the news is biased and that they're going to be liberal and stuff. We already know that. That's well established. It's not really debatable. Okay? But that's not even the primary issue with it. Would it be perfectly fine if the news only said stuff you believed and agreed with and wasn't biased or something? Would that make it okay? No, I don't think it would. It would still be a present-day idolization of the present with no eternal perspective. And you would bounce you around like a ping pong ball. All right, stop paying attention to the news. Stop watching the news. Duck when you need to duck. And beyond that, stay out of it. It dominates your mind. And you're never satisfied with it. You never have enough news because tomorrow there's new news. Got to see what that is. All right? Get your news from your prayer chains. People text you to say pray for so-and-so. That's your news. That's the news that matters. That's the direct personal news that affects your life. That your friends, your neighbors, your family members, the missionaries connected to your church that are being persecuted. Pay attention to that sort of news. That stuff doesn't even get covered on the news, quote unquote. The public news doesn't even cover the stuff that affects your life. It covers a bunch of other stuff that they say should affect your life because you're a ping pong ball and they're whacking you back and forth. All right, stop paying attention to it. Stop being a Sadducee. He's God of the living. You're alive. Make him your God and he'll be your God for eternity. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll tie it up with that. Tomorrow we'll get into what the scribes have to ask him and how he handles them. I'll see you then.